Chapter 35. In drawing Mrs. Eddy's portrait, it has been my purpose to restrict myself to materials furnished by herself, and I believe I have done that. If I have misinterpreted any of her acts, it was not done intentionally. It will be noticed that in skeletonizing a list of the qualities which have carried her to the dizzy summit which she occupies, I have not mentioned the power which was the commanding force employed in achieving that lofty flight. It did not belong in that list. It was a force that was not a detail of her character, but was an outside one. It was the power which proceeded from her people's recognition of her as a supernatural personage, conveyor of the latest word, and divinely commissioned to deliver it to the world. The form which such a recognition takes, consciously or unconsciously, is worship, and worship does not question nor criticize, it obeys. The object of it does not need to coddle it, bribe it, beguile it, reason with it, convince it, it commands it. That is sufficient. The obedience rendered is not reluctant, but prompt and wholehearted. Admiration for a Napoleon, confidence in him, pride in him, affection for him, can lift him high and carry him far, and these are forms of worship and are strong forces, but they are worship of a mere human being, after all, and are infinitely feeble as compared with those that are generated by that other worship, the worship of a divine personage. Mrs. Eddy has this efficient worship, this massed and centralized force, this force which is indifferent to opposition, untroubled by fear, and goes to battle singing, like Cromwell's soldiers. And while less he has it, she can command, and it will obey, and maintain her on her throne, and extend her empire. She will have it until she dies, and then we shall see a curious and interesting further development of her revolutionary work begin. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.